a few things on my heart I wanted to share with you guys about tonight. And how many of you guys were in the Jamie Galloway conference? Okay. So a lot of the mindset stuff that we've been talking about in here, I really felt like Jamie really hit on a lot of things. And so that's something I really feel like we're supposed to go after tonight is our mindset. To have a kingdom mindset, as Linda was talking about, that it's about the kingdom. And we talk about here at Legacy that it's not church as usual. We're not trying to be disrespectful or dishonoring. Like, I've grown up in the church my whole life, and I've been in several different streams, and I honor all the different streams. But the difference is it's got to be about the kingdom, because that's what Jesus preached, about the kingdom. The church is supposed to represent the kingdom and to advance the kingdom, not the church. It's supposed to advance the kingdom. And the kingdom is the king's domain. The king's domain is his territory, and his territory is all the earth. And we're his kids that are supposed to be advancing his purposes. So there's a whole way to think about and act. There's kingdom principles that we're to live by. You know, principles like sowing and reaping, principles like generosity, principles, you know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and walking out the fruit of the Spirit. But the bottom line is the only way you're going to really live out the kingdom is, one, you've got to be able to know the king, and you got to think the way he thinks. The issue is when we go through circumstances and our emotions will tell us something else, or the circumstances try to speak something else, or the spirit of religion will speak something else, or our orphaned heart will speak something else. There's a completely different mindset. And the word says that a double-minded man, right? It's not a good thing. That we're not to be double-minded. And so I've talked often here on Wednesday nights about what it looks like to have a divided heart, that when our heart is even divided, you know, that we have one part of us wants to do this, but another part of us wants to do that. And we're torn. We say that language all the time, even when it comes down to like trying to order what we're going to eat for dinner, you know, or where we're going to go for dinner for that matter. Like, because like, which way should we go? There's so many choices. My goodness. You know, we had our missionary friends here not too long ago. And I remember one time they had shared the overwhelm when they brought in little Sanya over from Thailand to see a grocery store that you just walk in down the cereal aisle. Like, and how many choices we have just on the cereal aisle compared to third world countries. You know what I mean? So there's just so many choices, and we get so many different messages in the world about the way we're supposed to act and think and behave, and what we should, you know, contend for or not, and what political persuasion we're supposed to be, or what's right or what's wrong. Like, there's so many different messages out there in the world, and 1,000 times more now that there's social media, right? Everyone's got an opinion. But what's got to ground us and root us is what the Lord thinks. Every single time it's got to come back to, what does God say? How does he see it? And the issue is that we've often heard things from the church and even from some pulpits that have not been something Jesus would say. And so you have to be able to dig into the word. You have to be able to read the word for yourself. You have to be able to ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth in the word. And to, again, look at the totality of the word, right? And that where any place where it looks like in scripture where there's a conflict, scripture interprets scripture. You've got to look at the totality of the scripture. You've got to look at it in the day and in the culture and the meaning, and there's layers to it, because the word of alive is living. It's active. It's breathing. It's just stories if Holy Spirit isn't on it. But guess what? He wrote it. So we're supposed to think the way the Lord thinks, that we're to be conformed no longer by the patterns of this world, the way this world operates, but be what? Transformed. Well, why do we call Wednesday night transform service? It's because that's what we're going after. Transformation. We're supposed to be going from glory to glory, right? We want transformation, not just the renewing of our mind and information, but there's a revelation that happens where the information goes from our head to our heart. And I talk about this being like the longest road sometimes, you know, to go from here to here, to really, really know in the deepest places of our hearts who we are and how God sees us and how we live out what it looks like a true Christian life. And I have to say true, even, because there's so many Christians that misrepresent Jesus. And guess what? I was one of them, so I'm not judging. Right? I mean, I understand when Paul is talking about, I was the Pharisee of all the Pharisees. you know, because it's easy as a human to judge. It's easy for us to get into our circumstances. It's easy for us to see things from however we were grown up or our culture or our family dynamic or whatever it is. But when you are born again, when you get renewed by the Holy Spirit, when you begin to see the way he sees things, when you begin to understand the very heart of God for you, there's a shift, there's a change, there's a transformation in your heart of really understanding who you are. We get told over and over and over again, if I said to you, do you know that you're a son or daughter of the living God? Everybody, I hope, would shake your head. Yes. But do you really know? Do you really know? You know how I know if you'll know or not? You know how I know? When the test comes. How do you know anything? Right? How do you know algebra? Let me give you a test. Prove it, right? Okay? Do you know your history? Let me give you a test. Let's prove it. Okay? Just saying, how do we know if we really know something? A test has to come. And tests are going to come. And we don't like the tests. I don't like pop quizzes either. But when you get those end of the year, end of the semester, cumulative test, like, right? Like, it's one thing to take a test at the end of the chapter that you've just reviewed in the last 6 weeks or whatever. Do y'all remember that? I don't know how long ago it's been, some of y'all in school, but I'm just thinking out loud, okay? That at the end of the chapter test or the end of the week that we've been reading, give me a pop test. Okay, I've been keeping up. I'm good. But you get to those semester, end of the year tests that's cumulative where you got to remember it all, right? Like, how much can my brain hold in terms of information? I always would say, if I don't know by now, I don't know it. I mean, I'd still study, but I'd be like, if I can't cram. I don't know how to cram for a test. I'm just being real. I don't know how to cram for a test. I remember Chris and I were in a marketing class, and we stayed up all night trying to really cram because this professor was super hard. And I remember even how he did the test was crazy, okay? I'm not going to go into it all. However, it was a nightmare trying to remember every single detail, every single thing that was on this. And this was one of those, like, I'm talking crazy exams, okay? And it was unlike any other exam I'd ever taken, ever. The way that he did it, it was almost like he was trying to get us to fail, okay? But it was so ridiculous. But I just knew at some point, I'm like, I either know it by now or I don't. Like, if I haven't participated in the course all year long and got it by now, I'm probably not going to know it. You know, there's no way I'm going to memorize a year's worth of information. Okay? How are you living your walk? How are you reading the word? How are you, like, is this, you know, Bible drill? Boom. You know, let's look up this verse. Quote it. You know, like, are we really reading it for transformation, for the revelation? And we get that out of relationship. So when I say, are you a son or daughter? Everybody's going to go, well, yeah. Okay. So what about when the test comes? What kind of tests will come and check you a little bit? Well, anytime your orphan spirit shows up, you might not know another layer or level of your sonship. Right? And there's layers and levels. I say that on purpose because we're always growing, right? No shame, no blame zone, right? There's no shame zone here. We're always growing. We're always developing on some level. And I believe that we were born in the fall, separated from the Father. So we start off with an orphaned heart. We start off from a place of poverty because we are missing someone. We are missing something. We were born into that. And so until we really get to know him, until we really have him living and residing within us, until we really come to understand Christ's love for us, when we have Holy Spirit inside, when we really understand the heart of the Father, then we come into sonship. But how long does it take for a son to grow up? Their whole life, right? I mean, are you still a son, Ben? Yes. You know, you're still a son, right? You're still, I mean, for forever, okay? Now, some people might think, well, once my parents, you know, pass on or whatever, am I still a son? Yes, okay? I mean, I was a daughter, and now I'm a mother, but it didn't mean my daughterhood went away, right? Like, that's still who I am. It's a part of who I am. So the same thing is true with you and your walk with the Lord. We've got to come into understanding and agreement. What does that really look like when we're a son or a daughter? When we talk about that, we hear it all the time now. You know, in the last 10, 20 years especially, we hear so much about the Father's heart and about sonship. Why? Because God's trying to get our identity into us. Why? Because all of creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. What does it look like when we're revealed? What does it look like when we're revealed? I was trying to look up that one scripture. I think it's in Romans where it talks about, I read it a couple weeks ago, where you talk about how when we come into our sonship, it's to display the manifold wisdom of God to who? To the spiritual realm. Do y'all remember that verse? I don't remember exactly where it's at. But it's to the spiritual realm. And I was like, whoa. It's not just the earth that's crying out. The spiritual realm is leaning in going, do you know who you are? Like all of heaven and hell is asking, do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? Do you really know what you're capable of? Do you really understand your authority? Because it's not determined by your circumstances. It's not determined by the clothes that you were talking about, Ben. The rags, the things that get us dirty, the sin in this world, the stuff, the entanglements, and the stuff that we get into. You know, your sonship does never go away. I love the parable of the prodigal son. And I really think it should be called the prodigal father, because prodigal means extravagant, right? And it was the father who was extravagant in his love. And he was extravagant in his love to both sons. Regardless of how they operated, he was extravagant to both. How do I know? Because even though the one son asked for his inheritance, both of them got their inheritance at the same time. One knew it, went, left, and spent it all, and the other one didn't. Felt like he had to keep earning it, working for it, and then complained when he didn't feel like he got the fatted calf before the younger brother did. And it was behavior that he was focused on, still trying to earn it when he already had it. It was already broken off when the younger son left. He already had it. So here's the thing. Do you know that you already have your inheritance?
Yes.
How do you know?
Through the works he gives us.
Through the works? Yeah. Okay. I'm just asking the question. I want you to think about this. How do you know? How do you know? He said, that settles it. He said it. It's over and it's done. How does it show up? The fruit of your life. Okay, so when the test comes, what do you believe? When the test comes, what do you speak? When the test comes, what do you say? What do you agree with? How do you behave? When the test comes, what comes out? You know, I love Dan Moeller when he was here. This is one of his phrases he always talks about. When you take an orange and you squeeze it, what do you get? Orange juice. You take a lemon, what do you get? You squeeze it, you get lemon juice. You get an apple, you squeeze it, you get apple juice. Wouldn't it be kind of weird if we squeezed an orange and got apple juice? Yeah. When you squeeze a Christian, what are you supposed to get? Jesus. When you get squeezed, did Jesus always come out? What? Right? No. Okay. So all I'm saying, no shame. But listen, that's how we know, is when the test comes, okay? When the test comes, that's how we know. But here's the beauty of our Father. He's going to have us take the same test over and over and over and over and over again. It's the goodness of God that he gets us to take the test over and over and over again so that we'll pass it. So that we'll pass it. Because what is a test? A test is an opportunity to prove what you know. It's not him trying to make you fail. And it's not always from the enemy neither. Listen, the enemy is fallen. I get it. He is going to come and try and test us. He's going to throw everything he can at us. But I'm sick and tired of asking and looking and going, oh gosh, spiritual attack, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I know it exists. I'm not being stupid. I'm not in denial. But I want to know what the Father's saying about it when I'm in the middle of the test. I don't care that the enemy's throwing arrows at me. He's given me a shield. My shield of faith protects me from the flaming arrows of the evil one, it says in Ephesians. The flaming arrows. He ain't here to play with me. He's not here to tickle. okay? He's here to take you out. He's here to take you out. There are flaming arrows that are going to come. And what's my shield? Faith. Right? We talk about all the armor. There's the faith. It's the faith. And guess what? The only offensive weapon I've got is the sword. The sword of the Spirit, the very word of God himself. How is that my offensive weapon? Because I'll be able to know it, that I can speak it, not just quote it because it's a good proverb or something to put on my social media. It's in here. It becomes my food. It's my bread. It's the living, breathing word of God that we're to feast upon in his Spirit, that we're in relationship with, that we're to feast upon. That's how we know when we're sons and daughters. It's when the test comes. When the test comes, how quickly does your mind go into doubt? Listen, no shame, no condemnation here in this message. Please hear me. I'm going to get real passionate, and I don't want you to hear that at all. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but there is the conviction of the Holy Spirit to take you up higher. Okay? And I'm sharing this for a reason. I'll unpack that in a little bit. But being in this season of a testing is how we know. So we've got to get to a place where we embrace the testing. We got to embrace the test. We don't like it. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I don't like pain. You know, I don't like pain. Do you like pain? No. Most human beings do whatever they can to avoid pain, deny pain, cover up pain, medicate pain. We do anything and everything we can to get rid of it, pretend like it's not there, stuff it, shove it, whatever we got to do. We don't like pain. But we're supposed to embrace it. How do I know? The word says. In James 1, consider it pure joy when you undergo trials of many kinds, for it's a testing and a persevering of your faith. A testing and a persevering of your faith. And isn't it interesting? Consider it pure joy. I can think of a lot of things that would bring me pure joy. I just want you to think the last time you had a day that was like pure joy, a moment that was pure joy. Like I think about the birth of my children, like pure joy, okay? Just saying, anytime that you think about pure joy though, joy. My kids would say, best day ever when they were little, and we'd go to Six Flags or whatever. Pure joy. When's the last time you walked out some pure joy? Just think. You don't have to share with me. I just want you to think about one. I want you to literally think about the last time you felt pure joy. Oh, pure joy. Smiling, laughing maybe, doubling over. You were laughing so hard, crying. I love those days. I love those times. Consider it pure joy. But what about the times when you're hurting and you're being tested and you're in pain, emotional or physical or both? And all the circumstances around you look impossible. Can you laugh then? Can you double over laughing? Wiping the tears out of your eyes, you're laughing so hysterically. I hope so. We talk a lot about Steve Backlund's book, Let's Just Laugh at That. You know, he talks about the lies of the enemy that we get. We got to learn how to laugh at them. We have to learn how to recognize the lies. Well, you're not going to recognize the lie unless you know the truth first, right? If I said to you, I guess I'm going to pick on Johnny. I picked on Ben already. If I said to Johnny, Johnny, are you a boy or girl? A boy. Are you sure? 100%? Okay, because there are some people that get confused sometimes, so I just want to make sure. 100%, you know that you know that you know. Okay, just being real. Now, if all of us got in a line and we said to Johnny, Johnny, you're a girl. 100 people get in a line and they all say, Johnny, you're a girl. What would you think or what would you feel? Still think you're a boy? Yeah, why? Because you know the truth. You recognize a lie when it comes, right? Where do you get your definition? Well, let's just talk about body parts. There's how I get male gender, female gender. That's for our argument today. Okay, so if 100 people say he's a girl, does all of a sudden he get confused? No, he might have some feelings about it. I don't know. If you're a girl and you got called a boy, you might have some feelings about it. You might be like, why are they saying that? Like, are they trying to say I'm not pretty enough or manly enough? Or they're not, like, what are they trying to, like, are they trying to hurt my feelings on purpose, right? Like, you can do all of that stuff and get in your head and get in all the emotions, right? Get on your feelings. But what's the truth? You got to come back to your anchor, the truth, and your definition of the truth. Well, the same thing is true when we're looking at the word. Anytime there's circumstances going on, we've got to come back to, where do you get your truth from? Where do you get your truth from? You got to get it from the Lord. You got to get it from his word. If he didn't say it, then I don't believe it. It's got to come from him. Like, what does he say? How would he say it? Do I really know him enough to know that he would never say that? If someone tried to come up to me and tell me so-and-so said this or did this, I'd be like, I don't believe you, because I know them. I know they would never do that or say that, right? When you really know somebody, you know their character. You know their mannerisms. You know how they're going to be. Well, the same thing is true of the Lord. What he says to you in who you are as a son or daughter and what you're capable of and the authority that you carry, that gets tested out in your circumstances when the test comes. So when you know your authority, when you know your sonship, yeah.
God's word is settled in heaven, and with everything that happens, he said it's a done deal. It's settled already. It was his word is what I keep still embracing, because sometimes I was reading something about being perfect, but don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Don't let perfect be the enemy of good, and that God's word is settled. Yeah, it's a settled thing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to give you the microphone.
Character development is both developed and revealed by tests that we have in life. And I mean, it's why I continue to come, because it's we have to always be nourished, that we have to always be hearing what the word of the truth is.
Right, we have to know the truth. We've got to be aware of what the word is saying. And so when every test comes, right, if the Lord is saying, consider it pure joy, how, Jesus, am I supposed to consider the loss of a loved one pure joy? How am I supposed to consider that pure joy when a test comes? Consider it pure joy when you undergo trials. Because something good's got to come out of it. Why? Because death makes us think about life. It makes us remember those that are still here. It makes us remember the one that we lost and the memories that we had, that we begin to treasure that life when we might not have thought about them until that time came, maybe. Sure, it makes us remind us of our future eternity, that we know, hopefully, that they'll be with the Lord one day. Sometimes they won't be, and it makes you think about that. It makes you think about, oh, goodness, how we need to share the goodness of God and the ability to know the Lord and to bring people to salvation so that we would see them in heaven one day. Amen. Right? Somehow, we've got to find joy in it. We just lost, Chris lost an uncle, a great uncle, the other day. And the funeral's on Friday. And he was one of my favorite people in Chris's family, because he was just so full of joy. He was a spunky coach. And I'm not even sure exactly what all happened, but a stroke of some kind or a heart attack or something. He was older, in his 80s, I believe. But that's a loss. How do we consider that pure joy? You know, I've been wrestling with the sciatic nerve pain for about 2 months. And I usually have a really high pain tolerance, so most people would never know that. But in dealing with, I have a bit of scoliosis with an extra vertebrae in my back, so it's not even normal scoliosis. I do extra. I have an extra bone. Thank you, Jesus, for my extra bone. Don't know why it's there, except when I finally get straightened out one day, I'll be a little bit taller. Okay, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm claiming. And I've had it healed multiple times. I have felt the supernatural power of God hit my body, fire run through my head, down my back, and boom, gone in an instant. Completely and totally healed, free of pain, completely. Multiple times I've had supernatural healing. Sometimes I'd feel the manifestation, sometimes I wouldn't. But you know, I still go to chiropractors or whatever to deal with it. But here lately, I'm like, okay, Jesus, I'm pressing in. I'm praying. I've had people praying over and over. I've been in rooms multiple times where I've had scoliosis as a word of knowledge. I've stood up. Six other people get healed and not me. What am I supposed to do with that? Am I still a daughter? Yes. Am I still loved? Yes. Well, why did they get healed and not me? I don't know. God's still good? Yes. Is he still the healer? Yes. Another test. I'm just being real with you. Can I be real? Can I be raw? Because it happens. We go after it. We just did. We go after it. We know that it exists. I've seen way too much. I've seen metal disappear out of people's bodies. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen crazy miracles with my own eyes and from prayers that I've prayed personally. Forget the other testimonies of everybody else that I know. I've seen it. I know it. I've tasted and seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I know. I know that I know that I know. And I've seen it go quickly, sometimes over time, but I've seen it go boom. I've experienced it myself. We've had multiple healings that we know. Tumors disappear out of people's bodies. Cancer healed. Like, we've seen it. Okay, Jesus, well, what up with my back, right? What's up with this? All I know is he's good, and I'm going to still walk it out, and I'm still going to profess that he's my healer, and this thing's got to go, and I'm done with it, but I'm going to still go to the chiropractor. Went this afternoon, got another little adjustment, got to go tomorrow. Just saying. What do? You go through the test. You go through the test, but my mindset is rooted in truth. I'm determined in my heart to not allow my emotions to put a question mark on my heart. I'm not going to allow the question mark. I'm not going to question God because I know that he's good and I know he's the healer. So I begin to argue with the enemy that wants to try to come sit up on my shoulder and say, well, what's wrong with you that you didn't get healed and everybody else did? You know, and I did it. Listen, I've gone through every inner healing ministry you possibly could imagine. You name it, I've done it. I've trained in it. I am trained in it. I do it for people in my office. Like, I've gone after inner healing, all different kinds. I've seen it. I know. I've done my own work. I'm a therapist. I've done my own therapy. I've looked at every generational curse. I've gone down the list of things. I've cleaned myself over and over and over again. I've tried every key. Do you imagine those janitor keys that are really, really round and have like 100 keys on the keychain? Like, I've tried every key to unlock that door that I know, and any other key that God's going to give me, I'm going to keep using it until it's done. But it's not done yet. And he's still good. And I'm still a daughter, and I still have an inheritance, and this is not mine. Amen. So anybody have scoliosis or anybody have a sciatic nerve issue? Okay, you do? Can I pray for you right now? Okay, because here's what I've learned. Listen, even if I don't get healed, I'm going to go after everybody else because I'm going to make Satan pay for messing with me. Whether I got the word of knowledge or not, but I always feel like I need to pray for it anyway. So you have sciatic nerve pain in your what side, left or right? Left side? Okay. So Father, I thank you so much that you are healer. So right now I command the nerve to come into alignment right now in Jesus' name. I command all pain to go right now in Jesus' name. All the inflammation around that nerve to go right now in Jesus' name. Would you bring the cooling of your wind to blow fresh upon her, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. I command every afflicting spirit to leave right now in Jesus' name. Be loosed out of her in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Release your healing, restoration. I command every vertebra in her back to shift right now, to move and come into alignment. I command her hips to come into alignment right now. Every disc to come into alignment, any bulging to shift right now, all inflammation go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Amen. Now kind of just test it out and see, do you still feel it? It's not there? Walk. Test it out. I know it can come and go, so I'm just like, When you do that, you can feel it. Yeah, in that muscle. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. See? Thank you, Lord. And never to return again in Jesus' name. I always add that one. Never to return again in Jesus' name. Because this one comes and goes. I've been contending for Miss Helen, too, that she's been having sciatic stuff, too. So sometimes it's a word of knowledge. Sometimes I don't know. But I just don't claim it as mine. Because it's not mine. Because it doesn't exist in heaven. So it shouldn't exist here. So it's illegal. Okay, Jesus already paid for it. But it's still here, Cindy. Yeah, I know. I'm the one who's feeling it. I'm the one that couldn't sleep all night last night. But you know what? I'm going to press in to praising him. To thanking him for his goodness. He didn't give this to me, okay? Doesn't exist in heaven, it's not from the Father. But if it's a test, I'm gonna pass this one. Do you hear what I'm saying? If it's a test, I'm gonna pass it, and I'm gonna make the enemy pay for messing with me by calling out and going after healing and praying for people with healing, and especially when it's issues that he's tried to attack me with, especially. I take it a little personal. You know, back problems, knee problems, all that. I go after all that stuff because that's what he's tried to attack us with. Allergies, asthma, I go after that stuff. So if you need prayer for any of that stuff, you stay behind and I'll pray for you. But the thing is we go after it. Why? Even if I'm having to go through it, it's a test. Okay, I don't know. Consider it pure joy. Why? Because it's a testing and a persevering of my faith. And the word says that God is the author and the perfecter of my faith. He's the one who started it. He's going to finish it. I'm just supposed to walk it out and believe him, to believe what he said is true, even if I don't feel it sometimes. I know that the truth is I'm already healed. Jesus already paid for it. It's already finished. It just hasn't manifested yet. It's just not here yet, like it's in the mail. You know, it's in the mail and it's coming, but I don't know how long it's going to get here. Do you remember the story in Daniel? Daniel fasted and prayed for Israel for 21 days, okay? And when the angel finally came to him, he said, listen, the minute you spoke your prayer, you had an answer. The minute you spoke your prayer, you had an answer. It was released out of the throne room. But I had to war against the prince of Persia here who was fighting against me. I had to go get the archangel Michael, pull in for the battle here, and we finally got through. Because of your prayers and your intercession and your fasting, we were able to break through, and it just happened to take us 21 days, and we finally broke through, so here's your answer now. Listen, the minute we pray, he hears our prayer, and there's an answer. And I think it's yes and amen. I think that's the answer. If we say what God already says, if we know that we agree with whatever he says in his word and in heaven, it's a yes. It's a yes. Now, he's the healer. I'm not. But yet, I'm the one that's going to speak it, and I'm the one that's going to pray, because that's how he partners with us. That's how it happens. Now, is he sovereign enough to just, you know, boom, send something and, you know, heal me immediately, like supernaturally, sovereignly? Yes, I've seen those happen too. Sovereign, without anybody even praying. You know, just saying, anybody that's got something, stand up. Well, that was an act of faith. Boom, right there. Why? Because you activated your faith by saying, yep, that's me. I want my healing. That's it. You came into agreement with what he said. You're already healed. Okay? So if we kept sharing and talking about testimonies of healing, guess what? We create an atmosphere for healing to take place because we create worlds with our words, because that's what God did. He said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. So if we agree with what he says and we say what he says, we begin to declare scripture, which are all the promises of God right there from cover to cover, or we get a rhema word of knowledge or a prophetic word. We declare what we know the Father would say. Why? Because we know his mannerisms. We know his heart. We know what he's like, right? So we can come into agreement with that. Well, then why isn't my body in agreement with it? I don't know. But I'm not going to let that be a distraction or steal my joy. If I'm supposed to consider it pure joy when I undergo trials, then I know that there's a purpose that the Father is going to work out in the end. That's all I know. Why? Because he's good. And I'm going to trust him. Even if it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to go into, oh, woe is me. I have this. I'm not going to go into a victim mindset because I'm not a victim. He calls me a victor. I'm an overcomer in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? I know what a conqueror is. Let's define conqueror, someone who battles and wins, right? That's a conqueror. You conquer something or someone. What's more than a conqueror? I'm just asking. What's more than a conqueror? More than a conqueror? on. Do you guys ever read these scriptures and go, what? More than a conqueror? I'm more than a conqueror? Somehow bigger than a conqueror. I don't know. Means I win the battle. Battle's already over. The battle's not mine. The battle belongs to the Lord, it says in the scripture in another place, right? See how scripture interprets scripture? The battle belongs to the Lord. Okay. And yet, I'm supposed to also co-labor with him. I'm supposed to come into agreement with him and to speak what he says to be true. This doesn't exist. It's illegal. It's not supposed to be here. It is going away. So I don't claim, I work really hard not to claim I have scoliosis. I know sometimes I say that. I'm not claiming it, but I'm also not a legalist. I'm not going, oh no, Satan heard me claim it. Oh no, so now I just agreed with him. No, I didn't. I just told you that's just what's going on in my body. But when I contend, I'm like, no, this isn't mine. Okay? It's an affliction. It isn't mine. It doesn't belong to me. It's not my inheritance. My inheritance is healing. It's wholeness. Right? So when we go through tests and trials, we've got to decide and to determine what are we going to believe in the moment. Because that's when the pop quiz comes. You didn't know it was coming, but boom, there it is. Lose a loved one. Boom. Wake up one morning and boom, there's a pinched nerve. Something happens.
All of this that lose a loved one, and you know, the big question, one of the big questions we ask is why? That's the big poisonous, potentially poisonous question. So I feel like a revelation that the Lord has been delivering to me over the last few years is he must be glorified, and he is glorified as we make those choices in the midst of testing.
Exactly. How else is a sacrifice of our praise given? I remember a story, it was Bill Johnson that shared about when his father passed. He preached a story on enduring faith the week before they were contending for his healing, and then the week after he did part two when his father passed. And this is a place, you know, Bethel has seen many, many supernatural healings, a stage four cancer healed, all kinds of things. And then they had, you know, his father pass. And the thing that he talked about was this place of enduring faith. There was a moment at his passing when he had a decision to make. Is God still good, and is he still healer, and is the assignment still the same? Yes. No matter the circumstance, you have to come into agreement in the moment. That's when the pop quiz came. What do you really believe right now? When your emotion shows up, that's your clue. If it doesn't feel like joy, okay, that becomes a clue that you're in a pop quiz or you're in a test right then and there. Right in that moment, if you're not in the place of joy, how do I know? Because the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, I'm in right standing with him. I'm clean before God. My heart is clean, right? I've not committed any sin. I'm standing, I'm not sin waiting to happen even. I'm not even worried about that because I'm a son or a daughter. I'm in good standing and good relationship. Like, I'm good, you know? That's your righteousness. He did it. Peace. Are you at peace? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Are you upset? Are you at peace? If you're not, then there's a test going on. Okay? In joy? Are we in joy? You have life? Do you have a smile on your face? Are you good? If you're not, remember I talked about the pure joy. That's like the purest kind of joy, right? Not just happiness, but joy. If you're not feeling it, there's a test. All the time. Every minute of every hour of every day. It's constant, okay? But if we have the mindset that we're constantly in a test, man, it's going to get really heavy. We can get really heavy. We can get really worried. We can go, oh no, if we didn't already know that we're okay, that we're in right relationship with him, that he's a good father, and that he's for us, not against us, so whom shall I fear? Right? If he is for me, who can be against me? Who shall I fear? Nobody. Can anyone come against the chosen of the Lord? No. That's what it says in Romans, right? So when we come into our identity, we come into this place of authority where we agree with God in the midst of the circumstance. So whether it's physical, whether it's loss, when it looks like impossibility has taken place, you get a sucker punch in the gut, and all of a sudden something shows up, and there's an impossible situation that happens. I have no idea how I'm going to solve this problem. It's going to have to be God, because it's God-sized at that point. It's God-sized. When Chris lost his mother, it was years ago, but I'll never forget, because we were leading worship at our old church then too, and I think she passed on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And I just remember the following Sunday, we were on the stage leading worship. And everyone at the church after was like, I can't believe you guys are here. You guys should have taken the weekend off and, you know, had the other team fill in. And I'm like, hang on, where else would I be? Where else would I be? This isn't work. Like, where else would I be but in the house of the Lord with my church family, worshiping God, giving him a sacrifice of praise? Because in that moment, this was my story back to Bill Johnson, what he shared in that Enduring Faith, losing his father. In that moment, there's a decision. Do I still believe in God? And then I release a sacrifice of praise, means I will never begin to offer to God in heaven. I'll never be able to offer him this sacrifice of praise because there's no sacrifice in heaven. The only time I'm going to be able to give him the fragrant offering of a sacrifice of praise is when I'm in the middle of a sacrifice, right. When I'm in the middle of a test, when it's really hard and I don't really feel like I'm supposed to be joyful and praising, is when I praise. Why? Because regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the emotion, my heart will praise him because he's good. That's when we're supposed to be doing it. And that's when you pass the test. That's when you pass the test. Now, you might get another one the next 30 minutes. I don't know. But my point is, that's how you pass the test. And we war with our worship anyway. We've got a war to get into this place of his presence and begin to worship anyway. That's the first place I go. I'm going to make the enemy pay for messing with me by praying for other people in the same kind of circumstance, by doing what I can do to tell people about the Lord. I'm going to press into that place of worship with him. I'm going to make the enemy pay for messing with me because I'm just that stubborn. Maybe he'll get the hint and he'll leave me alone. I don't know. But I also know that the trials and the testing is going to come. Why? To make me stronger. To make me stronger. You know, if you laid in bed all day, your body would atrophy. Your muscles would get weaker. Do you ever, you know how when the astronauts, when they go and they don't have gravity, you know, they have to do actual exercises and stuff, and then it takes them a while to recover when they come back from space because there hasn't been enough pressure or force to be able to work out those muscles. If you didn't work out those muscles, if you didn't actually be physical in some capacity, your muscles will shrink and will atrophy. You'll lose strength. You have to exercise. You have to do something to be able to continue to be strong. Well, it's the same way with our faith. We have to exercise our faith muscle. We have to have these tests. You will not grow as a believer. You will not grow as a Christian. So if you get into this mindset when everything feels like it's an assault and you get into the orphaned mindset, you get into a scarcity or poverty mindset, when you get into a victim mindset that says, oh, woe is me, right? We get into a place of doubt or a lack of faith. And I know that we can do that in our emotion, but this is why I talk about this so much. It is our mindset in the middle of our emotion that matters. We have to identify, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? Now, what am I going to do about it? I start with my belief. What am I going to speak? What does the Father say? What does Jesus say? What did he pay for? This is a circumstance. This doesn't define my identity. It doesn't define who I am. It is not going to keep me down. This is a circumstance. I declare and decree it. I begin to prophesy. I put this on my social media wall the other day. Like, if you're in a test, prophesy your test results. Just prophesy your results. If I go into a test going, oh man, I'm going to fail this test. I'm going to fail this test. It's going to be so hard. I'm going to fail this test. Do you think you might pass? No, you're going to fail the test. Self fulfilling prophecy. You got to speak life. The power of the tongue speaks life or death, and he who speaks it will eat its fruit, right? So we've got to speak life. We've got to speak possibility. We got to prophesy. Think it should. That's another test. It's another way to follow through. Because why? Because the minute disappointment comes, I promise you that's like level 2 test right there. Just when you thought you were over, the last page shows up and it's one of those essays. Everything else was multiple choice and then the essay comes at the end. Are you kidding me? Right? I'm just saying, I remember those tests. So then disappointment comes and we got sucker punched in the gut today. We got sucker punched in our family. There were some things we were expecting for and it didn't turn out the way that we thought. We were shocked. We got sucker punched. Okay? And I don't think I'm in shock. I was in shock, I think, for a minute, just like in my mindset, going, I didn't see that coming at all. Jesus. I didn't see that coming at all. But immediately, in my spirit, I just said, but you're good. And you have a plan, and this is no surprise to you, Father. You knew all along this was going to happen. And you're not worried about this. This is nothing to you. Yeah, some more negative consequences, some more stuff we're going to have to face, some more things we're going to have to deal with because of it. But you're good. You've got it figured out. This is such a big deal. There is no way I could solve it. Like, I'm utterly helpless to solve this problem. Except I can do my little role, my little part, one day at a time, doing the things that I'm supposed to do, being consistent, declaring and walking out my faith, declaring who God is, and with expectancy prophesying the results. I know something else is going to come around the corner. Why? Because that's the definition of hope. Biblical hope is a confident expectation of good things coming. And it says in his word, we're supposed to persevere through suffering. Paul said, suffering develops perseverance. Perseverance, character. That's the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ. So I am becoming like Jesus. Every time I get squeezed, is Jesus coming out? I got squeezed today. Got squeezed the other day when we found out Uncle Riley passed. We got squeezed. And you know what's harder? It's harder when you get squeezed 2 days in a row. 3 days in a row. Like, I'm just saying, it's cumulative, especially when it comes from all different sides, right? Like, you're getting squeezed a little bit more. Is Jesus still coming out? I want it to. So I have to speak into my emotion. I speak into my heart. I stand in my faith and I declare and decree over myself in this situation. God, you're good. I start there all the time. First step, you are good. And I will worship you in the middle of this circumstance because you're good. And I'm going to press into my worship of you because this is nothing to you. You're so much bigger than this. You're so much bigger. And I always talk about climbing up into the Father's lap. He says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. So if I'm seated in heavenly places in the throne room with God, then the earth is way down there. And if I can be seated up here and look way down there, my problem is way down there. It's so much smaller when I have his perspective. So much smaller. Problems, do you know how big my God is? That's nothing to my God. That is nothing to him. He created the sun and the stars. He created the galaxy. He created every living creature and everything. He is so big and he's my dad. And he's so going to make you pay for messing with me. You know, he's so going to make you pay. And I'm going to make you pay because you're under my feet. So everything else is, if I'm in Christ, all my problems are too. Amen? Okay. But I'm not down here on the ground begging. So here's another clue that you're in a test. The minute you start getting tempted to start to whine or complain, oh, woe is me, victim mindset. Oh, I have lack. I'm missing something. Here I'm in this orphaned mindset, right? or I'm lacking something, a scarcity mindset or a poverty mindset, if I see myself as poor versus rich, I am rich in God. He's my dad. You just got to really get that. We say that language all the time, and you might know it here and like, yeah, I got the church answer. No. You got to get it here. And you know it's here in the middle of the circumstance. That's when you stand up. That's when you go, I'm in a test. Cindy was telling me about this the other day. And you go, okay, my heart is going to feel what it feels. Listen, you're not robots. You're going to feel what you feel. But in the middle of the emotion, your spirit needs to arise and speak to it. And love yourself well enough. Hear me. Love yourself well enough from your spirit, man, to take that little boy or girl inside your heart that is scared, that is doubting, that is hurting, and you take that little boy and girl in your heart and you wrap your arms around and you speak life. You speak life. That's what David did when he strengthened himself in the Lord. He said, oh, my soul, why are you so downcast within me? And he began to speak to that place in his heart, in his soul. He began to speak to his emotions. He was a very emotional guy, David. Don't know if you've read the Psalms lately. It was a roller coaster of emotion. He was very emotionally expressive. He was a musician and a creator. He created all these different instruments that he's played. He was passionate. He was a warrior, right? He messed up a lot because of his emotions, but he always came back to the Lord. Constantly would speak to his spirit, speak to his soul. And you've got to do the same thing. The minute you turn on yourself, you've just agreed with the accuser of the brethren. He just sat there and sat on your shoulder and began to whisper in your ear and began to throw doubt your way and began to make you question yourself and to begin to belittle yourself. And then he starts to get you to forget who you really are and start to taint your view of God himself as well. I mean, listen, he's got no new playbook here. He's done that since the fall. That's the first thing he spoke when he spoke to Adam and Eve. Oh, let me make you doubt who God really is. He's holding back on you.
Surely he didn't say that.
Oh, you're not going to die. He was lying. Yeah. You know, like that's the doubt. That's where he comes in. And begins to tempt with something else. Look, this thing is going to actually make you like God. She was already like God. He was already like God. Let us create man in our image, they said. It was already done. That means we were all created in his image. Do you guys hang out on that scripture for a little bit and ask the Father what that means? How is it possible that I was created in your image? I mean, I look like you? I'm like you? How am I like you? I don't know. I mean, I know my humanness, but how am I made in the image of God? Do you ever think about that? I mean, I know we're spirit, but what does that really mean? I'm in the image of God? Did I lose you on that question? I don't know. Listen, I love asking questions when I read the Bible because I don't get it all. I'm no theologian, never pretended to be a theologian. I've taken Old Testament, New Testament survey. I've studied the Bible for years. I've taken some of the classes and stuff, but you know, I'm no theologian. I'm a relational theologian. Larry Randolph said that once and I loved that when I stole it. I'm a relational, not an academic one. That's all I know is what I've read and who I know him to be. Yeah.
That Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, whose picture's on this coin? And the Pharisee says, it's Caesar's. He says, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. And to the Jews of that day, they would have known immediately what he was talking about was that Genesis 1 scripture that I'm made in the image of God. I'm stamped like a coin in his pocket. Spend me, God, you know? And I love that image of that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Randy Clark says it all the time. I'm a coin in God's pocket. He can spend me however he wants. So here's what I want to come down to. Here's what was on my heart today. It is vitally important that we understand the kingdom. That we understand how to have a kingdom mindset. That we rise above our circumstances. that we do not let our emotions dictate who we are, that we don't let our emotions or our circumstances dictate how we see God, that we recognize that we're in a war zone on a regular basis, but I'm not looking for the enemy and his tactics or his strategies. I'm looking for what the Father is saying and doing, because I'm after the Father's business, right? I want to do what he says to do, because the minute I do, I know exactly where to go. I know exactly how to stand. I know exactly what to say. I know exactly how to pray. I immediately press into him. I declare that he's good. I draw near to God, and he draws near to me. I begin to worship, and everything else in the world begins to fall away. I step into the spiritual realm that takes me up higher. You go from glory to glory like that. That's what you do, is you step into intimacy with the Lord. You step into worship. You step into his heart. You rise above the circumstances. I'm no longer on the earth. I'm seated in heavenly places now, looking way down there to see my problem way down there in the earth. You got to rise above. You got to rise above it. You've got to determine, this isn't going to keep me down. It's going to come in your physical body. It's going to come in your soul. He's going to come after your family. If he can't get you, he'll come after someone you love. He's going to do anything he can to get around you. The enemy's going to do everything he can to distract you. He's going to do everything he can to be able to get you off target. Do you know that's what sin actually means? Off target, to be off target, to be without. That's all he wants. That's all the enemy can do, because he's scared spitless of us when we actually show up, when we actually know who we are, when we start revealing who we are as sons and daughters. And don't just say that because it's a quippy little thing you say in church. No, it's because I really do know who I am, and I know who my dad is. And in every circumstance, the enemy doesn't get to dictate how I'm going to believe and what I'm going to say. That's not going to hang out in my house. We're going to have emotions. We're going to have stuff happen. There are circumstances that are very real. I'm not in denial about any of it. I see it. I have no idea how this is going to happen. I don't know. But God, that's all I can do. I will do my part. God, what do you want me to do? How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do this rightly, with good character, with integrity? You just show me the way. How am I supposed to partner with this? He can make anything happen. Anything. He can speak it like that. The last thing I'm going to hit on is this, the favor of God. I love that every time we share testimonies at the beginning of Wednesday night, you guys tell my sermon. We start talking about the favor of God, right? Jamie was talking about this weekend, the favor of God, the fog, F-O-G, the favor of God. He is your favor. He's your favor. I'm going to read you a word that a guy released at the Mission Church in Vacaville just on the 22nd, just a few days ago. And this was in the middle of worship. And the guy that shared this with me, he said that this associate pastor, he never really says words like this. And he knows that he knows that he knows. It was for a group of kingdom people that I'm online with, kingdom business people. But I really believe, like, this is a God word. I declare to you in Jesus' name, this is a time and a season where the unprecedented and unparalleled favor of God is going to radically come upon you. God's favor will stay on you and remain with you all the days of your life. It will never go away. It is eternal. It is everlasting to everlasting. It is an eternal favor. It has no time frame on it, because the Lord says, I am your favor. I am your favor. It's me. I have always been your favor. I will always be your favor. I am your instead. I am your promise. I am your prophecy. I am your blessing. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, ever. My favor is wrapped around you like a cloak. It is in your breath. It is in your lungs. It is in your heart. So I say to you, trade on my favor. Do not look at me as though I'm reluctant to bless you. I'm extravagant. Test me. I want to keep teaching you how to move from measure to fullness, how to live in abundance. I want to teach you how to live in a place of abundance that's beyond your ability to think. This is a place where there is no despair because you live in the place of blessing. It's the land of goodness, a land of inheritance. I am your inheritance. I am your territory. I am your promised land. I am your Canaan. Every problem you're facing today, every situation, every circumstance, there is an alternative. It's instead, and that's me. And I challenge you to believe it. This is your day. This is your time. But you have to take advantage of my goodness. So, beloved, I'm challenging you. Come after me. Try to bankrupt me if you can. Listen, I mean it. I need people living in abundance. The enemy has a budget. I have abundance. And I need you to live in the flow of my abundance. It's critical to what we're doing on the earth. We are raising up and sending out world changers. And it's critical that you're full of abundance. So here you go. This is not a concept. It's a tangible reality. But you must consciously make a choice to yoke your heart to mine today. Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to you in this, God. You are our favor. You are our favor. You are our words of prophecy. You are our dad. And we thank you. We thank you, Father, for choosing each one of us by name. Who am I that you would be mindful of me? Who am I that you would be mindful of me? I'm yours, Father. Let that sink into our hearts, Father, that we're yours. Who am I that you're mindful of me? Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord. Let it sink deep within us, God. Let this word be seeds. Let our heart be good soil. Let it bring transformation, Lord. Let it bring revelation. Give us words, God. Give us ideas. Give us strategies, Lord, of how to overcome and how to pass these tests, Lord. That we grow up and look like our big brother Jesus. That we grow up and truly become who you say that we are. That we become the best version of ourselves for your glory. So we give it all to you, Father. Everything. Everything. Every negative thing, God, we give it to you. Every hard thing. Every hurtful thing, every pain and every worry, every bill, every circumstance, every sickness, every turmoil, every betrayal, every hard thing, we give it to you. And God, we give to you every blessing. We give to you everything that you've given to us. God, we give you the gifts back. We give you favor back. We give you glory back. God, everything that you've given to us, we thank you for it. Let us be good stewards of it. Teach us, Father, how to walk in your ways, how to steward your kingdom wealth. Help us to understand earthly things so that we may understand heavenly things. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch each person right now listening. Right now, just manifest yourself in us, God. Would you come and rest, Holy Spirit, upon us and take us into the night. And as we sleep, Holy Spirit, Would you help our spirit to arise above our body and our soul, as our spirits never sleep and are joined with you, that we may receive a download from the Father tonight. That you'd bypass our soul, bypass every mechanism that's there, straight into our spirit, God, and download our identity, our authority in you. Download that supernatural peace and joy. Give us the ability to laugh at lack, to laugh in loss, to laugh at every circumstance. Give us eyes to see into abundance. Give us eyes to see your wealth. Give us eyes to see our inheritance. Thank you, Jesus. I just have a vision right now. I just want you to picture it with your mind's eye. Just as Ben was even saying, that just see the dirty clothes being taken off, like a filthy robe around you, just being removed. And just see the Lord wrapping that mantle around you, that white robe. In a moment, you're clothed with majestic glory. You're clothed in this beautifully radiant, beyond description, robe of righteousness, and immediately made clean. And picture Jesus placing a crown on your head. And I just hear him saying, "Arise, my child, arise and shine." So just take a stand prophetically. Just begin to stand right now. Arise into your identity, into your inheritance. Arise into the royalty that I've called you to. Arise into your authority. Arise and take ownership of the inheritance that belongs to you. We are noble subjects of the King. Let it sink in, Lord, that you are our favor. And now, just in your mind's eye, I want you to take your crown and just lay it at Jesus' feet. It's all for you, Jesus. It's all for your glory. We will serve you as noble subjects so that we can lay this crown at your feet. We love you. And I thank you, God. Amen and amen. All right. Oh, he's good, right? Yes. Do you want to come again on the microphone, honey, so everybody can hear you?
When Cindy was speaking, the Holy Spirit hit me hard and I jumped and I freaked myself out. I saw over Cindy while she was speaking a huge rock with greenery all around. But right coming out of the rock was this waterfall just over her while she was speaking. And when I saw it, I felt the Holy Spirit because it hit hard. So we know that the water of life is Jesus, and it's also the cleansing word. And so the Father's really doing something with us tonight, and I'm so grateful. I just wanted to let y'all know that.
Thank you, Sylvia. Come on, Linda.
And when we were talking about being clothed in Jesus, the Lord took me to Zechariah 3, verse 3. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I've taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge over my courts. And I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I'm going to bring my servant the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty."
That's good. I was actually thinking of that scripture. Thank you, Linda. That's good. All right, so before you leave tonight, if you need prayer of any kind, please stay behind. Let's pray for each other. You don't have to come to me to pray too. We're all equipped to pray. But please pray for one another before you guys leave. If there's a need, if anything is, if you need, if there's any kind of situation that's going on right now that you need prayer for, let someone else pray for you and prophesy the results, okay? Let's do that before you leave. Amen? All right, amen.